Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Carl Safina is a marine biologist by trade and a conservationist by nature. Safina is the recipient of a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant and co-founder of the Blue Ocean Institute. He's written several books about his travels and research in a changing ocean. His latest is called The Voyage of the Turtle, In Pursuit of Earth's Last Dinosaurs. Earth and Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke with Carl Safina at the Jackson School of Geosciences at the University of Texas in Austin. Safina talked about how science and conservation are changing as the climate faces an uncertain future, and he explained why he chose to follow the leatherback turtle across the world.
They cross the ocean completely, and these are among the longest migrations on Earth, and they're some of the slowest animals, so they take years to complete these migrations. And the scale of their movements and the scale of their lives, their whole size, I mean, they're just gigantic, and they're operating at a different pace that has lasted for over 100 million years.
How are leatherback turtles being affected by climate change, and how have you seen this happening?
Yeah, it affects turtles in several ways. One is simply that as the weather is intensifying and the storms are intensifying and the sea level is rising because of ice melt and warming, the beaches are getting eroded at rates that they have not eroded in our previous lifetimes and for a long time before. So I've been on sea turtle nesting beaches during what is supposed to be a stable time of the year when the turtles are nesting, and seen hundreds and hundreds of eggs washed out of the sand by storms and erosion that weren't supposed to be happening at that time of the year. The other thing is that turtles, for some odd reason, are not genetically programmed to be either male or female. They become male or female depending on the temperature of the nest, and the ratio of males and females may change as the nest sites get warmer, and nobody knows how that will play out.
Do you think the conservation effort is changing as the climate is changing?
Even 5 years ago, and certainly 10 or 15 years ago, you could travel around with a lot of people studying animals or plants, and they would talk about a lot of things, but not climate change. And now it seems like everyone is seeing subtle but sometimes large changes because of the way that the weather and the climate has been changing. That's been a gigantic shift. I've never really seen anything quite like that in my whole career. Now, before I became a professional, when I was still a teenager and a student, we learned, I think for the first time, the public really learned because of Rachel Carson and Silent Spring, that human beings were putting toxic chemicals on crops that were getting all throughout the world and all throughout the water and the air and back into people's food, into people's own bodies, into the milk that women were feeding their own babies. We had never heard of anything like that before, that the effect of something that humans were doing was affecting the whole world. But climate is, I think, even a more intense example of that, because it's changing everything about the context of life. It's not just burdening life with a load of toxic chemicals that causes disease in some cases, but in other cases, people and animals don't get diseases. Many people also don't, you know, you can't see or taste or feel toxic chemicals, so it's not visceral, but everybody can see how the weather has been changing. It's had unbelievably dramatic effects. And with toxic chemicals, you can have a big argument about whether you should spray on crops and get more food for people at the expense of the birds that'll be poisoned, or whether you shouldn't spray so that you can save the birds. So in one way, it's often a thing of whether the environment or concerns about the environment are good for people or bad for people and good for animals. But with climate, the changes and the upheaval in the climate are pretty much bad for everybody and everything. We're all caught in the results of this, and the changes that are coming will affect everything out there and will start costing money in ways that no other kind of environmental problem has ever cost money.
Why do you think it's important for scientists to speak up about climate change?
The scientists have realized how extremely important it is for them to communicate, and within the climate science realm, there are more scientists trying to get the information out to the public than there probably have ever been in any other field of science. At the same time, there are more people trying to confuse the public with a really well-funded and concerted disinformation campaign, as well as an unprecedented amount of government interference in the United States, anyway, in trying to gag scientists, trying to change the results that they get before reports are released. It's sort of the best of times and the worst of times, but that's, I think, because in that issue, there is so much at stake, and the issue has gotten so intensified that because of the extreme politicization of the climate science, more climate scientists have seen that it's just very, very important for them to step forward and try to make the public understand.
How do you think scientists should be communicating with people?
I think scientists should really be very interested in, and in fact, I think that they should be compelled to try to communicate with people who are not scientists. Normally, they are actually punished for communicating outside of science. They don't get any credit toward their careers. It doesn't count on their resume. It counts against them in academia if they spend too much time trying to write a newspaper article or a popular magazine article. They only get credit toward their professional scores, you know, when they're trying to get tenure at a university based on how many scientific papers are published in scientific journals for scientists. And one result of that is that the public doesn't understand science, doesn't trust science, doesn't like scientists, and people who don't like the results that science gives have been able to really tarnish science and make science something politicized and political because scientists haven't stuck up for themselves or for their field or for the power and the amount of truth contained in the results of science. Because what science is a systematic search for the truth. And it always gets a little closer to the truth every time, you know, it refines itself and every time studies are done. They very seldom does increasing study lead you farther and farther away from what is really the real situation. And usually it gets closer and closer. But scientists have done a terrible job communicating, so I think that all scientists should see it as a very big part and the most important part of their responsibilities to not just get science, but then to communicate it to as many people as possible. But it should be communicated. Science should be communicated in compassionate ways that don't sort of start by saying, I'm a scientist, I'm much smarter than you, and you're dumb, so listen to me. It should be communicated in ways that kind of start by understanding where the audience is at and try to get into their level or their way of looking at the world or the language that people use to understand what's going on around them and try to communicate in ways that people will be open to receiving and understanding.
That was Carl Safina, author of The Voyage of the Turtle. I'm Jorge Salazar. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.